All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testator, a writer of names and flavor text for Wizards of the Coast and a writer at Gathering Magic. And with me, as always, is the one and only super flavorful and also super late Mike Linneman.
Hey, I'm here late per usual. No, I was making double food.
What's a double food?
Double food. So what, not one time, food? But two times. No, my sometimes I make extra food for like lunch or for my wife for dinner. Because, you know, sometimes I'm at like an event or sometimes I'm at Wizard Night or something. And, you know, you can only have so many slices before you're like, F it, I'm done. So I'm making her some extra kielbasa, rice, beans.
Ooh, I like that kielbasa.
Super tasty. So it's just sitting cooking it. I just had to make double. And then the wiener dogs were like attacking me while I was doing it. Shocker.
Shocker. I am shocked.
Yeah. Such shock. So people know who both of us are at this point. Cripes, we're this far in. Let's get into it right away. What do we got on the docket?
Commander 2015. And what's awesome, right, is that this marks exactly 1 year since we started doing this. Because last year we started in October with Commander 2014.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So funny.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought both of us wouldn't have just stopped doing it entirely, or right. As I've been hyping it to say we're going to burn out, which of course we do every week or two.
Yeah, well, whatever. It happens.
There's that. Okay, well then, I'm getting right in flavor jams. I'm jumping you, going first.
Do it.
And what I got is Bastion Protector, and just came out, 3-drop, 3-3, white thing, human soldier, cool. Commander creature gets +2/+2, indestructible. Flavor decks as long as I stand, soul your cost. So basically, this is the card that you put in a Ural deck, and your Ural becomes a 7/7 indestructible hexproof monster that is just impossible to deal with. And I think this is cool not only because of, I'm going to use it, but it's the weird perspective shift in the art. As you see this figure, it's a badass chick, cool armor. Accentuates that it's a woman. Obviously, sometimes the face doesn't show it. They're like, oh, that's kind of a breastplate thing, but actually that's just integrated into the armor. Okay, that's cool. I see what he did there. And then it has this like light infused into it, so you can see this mechanic of, oh, there's like an adamantium sort of thing, maybe.
Right.
Makes it stronger or something of the sort. Okay, I can get behind that. That's cool. And the full-on gravy train is the likeness of it. I don't know if anybody noticed this, but it looks like a member from Game of Thrones. It looks like Arya.
It's straight up. Yeah, it does look like Arya. You're right.
It totally does. And I've stared at this for like 2 minutes. I'm like, who is that? Maisie Williams? What? What? And I like when they kind of sneak in a likeness into it.
Right.
And, you know, a simplistic card that, you know, probably isn't going to see any play outside of Commander because it says Commander creature. It's worthless otherwise.
Yeah, but you know what's cool about that? What's cool about the wording on that, Commander creatures, you control, get +2/+2, and have indestructible. So I'm pretty sure that if you mind control your opponent's commander, it becomes indestructible.
Correct. Also, if you have a couple open-ended things, like what happens when you have two of your own commanders? How does that work?
Yeah, but what do you mean? How could you have two commanders? Unless you were, like, playing some kind of weird alternate.
It's the future thing. Like, what if it becomes Stang, the Legends card? When Stang enters six drops,
right.
Another 3/4 human warrior token called Stang Twin.
Mm-hmm.
The Stang Twin is supposed to be legendary as well. So does that count? And is this open design space? That's really, really clever.
True. Yeah, that is. It's like, it's as if they're kind of like
nod wings,
thinking ahead and not getting themselves into some weird trouble.
I think that's fantastic, though.
That's cool.
Be a shenanigans in the future where it could be like a Riku of Two Reflections.
Right.
Or like two people on the piece, like a couple. You know, something really out of the box sort of legend that could be really, really fantastic. And I think that's possible for us to see in the next few years.
Right.
And I'm all for that. So I think top to bottom, I think it's a really fun card that I'd love to see more of.
Yeah, definitely. And who's the artist there? Victor, right?
Uh-huh, who's been just killing it. Oh, that's a card. Anax and Saimide. That human soldier from Theros, 3-drop, 3/2. Similar feeling thing that it could be there. But yeah, that's Victor. So he does a different thing on his actual Twitter because he uses his full name. It's Victor Ademe. It's Victor Ademe Art at, and he's just like the biggest fanboy ever. Just, he's got a collection of cards. He gets signatures from other artists. He makes fan art. He does gender bends of back of.
Yeah, I've
seen
those. That's
the guy that made the woman Garrick.
Yeah.
Made the Ralzeric opposite for the woman. That's so freaking cool. So he's fantastic. I'm super happy he got that.
Yeah.
Who do you got for us? What do you got for us, Flavor Jim?
All right, man. I got Gigantoplasm.
Oh,
right. Nice. So I picked this card for three reasons. One, it has my name in the middle of it, which is awesome.
Fair. A bit.
Second of all, I really like the name Gigantoplasm because Magic has a rich history of shapeshifters that have plasm in the name.
Right, right.
So I thought that was a nice little nod there. And really, my absolute favorite thing about this card is the flavor text, where it says, "I appreciate things that exceed expectations." And in the art, we have two homunculi, right? Okay. One is little small dude getting chased by a goblin. The other one is maybe his little brother, now big brother, about to lay some squash on a goblin.
Right.
Right? Now, both of these dudes look just like Fibblethip.
Yep.
Right? And I love how this flavor text has this kind of like hidden double meaning where you know that someone at WotC who saw the original Fibblethip flavor text are like, oh, this is kind of quirky, but probably didn't think it was going to blow up as big as it did and that there would be plushies made.
Right.
Right. Like Fibblethip was probably a runaway success. And so this quote could easily be just someone on the brand team talking about Fibblethip. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a perfect way to sum up. Like,
it's like a Mr. Burns excellent sort of thing.
Right. Exactly. Like, I totally didn't expect this to work that well, but sure. Well, now we're going to give you one in pretty much every commander set.
Can we just talk about Kev Walker putting three figures into a scene? It's a scene that's a card that also fits the mechanic.
Yeah. I mean, well, dude, Ken, so he's hard. Such it's a pro, so... though. Like, he's so used to using the frame to its full potential.
Right.
You know, like, he knows when to not have a background. He knows when to have minimalistic background. Like, if you really look at this, it's just like they're on a hill outside of just building.
Yep.
Right? But it works. That's all you need. Like, you just need enough that connotates, like, the size of these three creatures, right?
Right. If this is on Ravnica, it'd be too much noise.
Right. But it could be, like, in the Rubble Belt. Like, you don't know.
Sure.
You know? Like, it's just vague enough that you can kind of put it anywhere, except for the Goblin. The Goblin is really what kind of makes it not work on some planes, right? Because the Goblins can get kind of weird, but whatever.
Yeah, or, like, the Mirrodin ones look all goofy.
But, yeah, man, I mean, it's perfect. Even the fact that, like, you know, the bigger homunculi is just slightly bigger than the frame. You know what I mean? Like, it just totally speaks to you that, like, this guy just got super big. It's almost as if the camera wasn't even ready for him to be that big.
I dig it. I think it's fantastic. Good
pick. It's awesome.
All right, so what do we got today? We're talking Commander.
Right.
Sure. Where are we starting?
First and foremost, I feel like nobody really knows other than, like, if you really dig around on the MTG Reddit, like, this was kind of up on the front page for a while, and it's starting to now drift behind as, like, new spoilers come out. But there are little bios on the story section of the Commander 2015 page on the Mothership.
Seen them.
For each of the 10 new legends that are going to be in the set. And they're just nice little snapshots of who the character is and kind of what that card's supposed to represent. So I urge you, check it out.
Yep.
A lot of them they're pretty cool.
I saw the Karlov one, and I saw the stained glass window in the background, Orzhov window, and I'm like, okay, that's really, really cool. That's really well done.
Right.
Okay, so saw that. Super neat. Obviously, you could speculate on some of those things in there, which, you know, they're slowly coming through. Cool, neat. I noticed, first of all, that how many of them were digital. I mean, there's even, Caseto? The Snake Wizard is even that. That's also not true.
Is that really? That's digital?
That's digital. That's Aaron Miller, who normally paints traditionally, But every now and then, he, you know, he just needs to knock one out, and he can do it visually. So those are the people that can span that gap where they kind of confuse you in which way they go. Noah Bradley does it too. He got like 15 people asking him about it. Like, yeah, they were painting. And he's like, oh, if I would have known. And I'm like, you can't know ahead of time if it's going to be popular or not. It's just kind of
what it is. Right, right. What about Karlov? Is that one digital?
Karlov looks to be digital to me. It's... I mean, the hard part to tell is that there could be areas that are and aren't.
Right, right. The window, like they did touch-ups like or something?
Correct. It looks touched up on the window, but all the pillars, those look painted.
Right.
So what could, I mean, what could happen is that the original paint of the piece is done, and then they do like a, instead of an underpainting, they finish it digitally, which is like minor details, or even literally just block in color and go through it. Right. To me, it looks like Steve Belledon, to me, though, early. We'll find out real soon who it is. But there's some characteristic pieces of style which people use on, like, hands and on the edges of pillars. Like, some of the edges on the top of the pillars around Karlov could have been Vulcan Baga working quickly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It almost looked like...
It's not
like
shiny Vulcan enough, though. That's the problem.
Well, the hands were throwing me a little bit because they just didn't look like... hit. And that's so weird. That's so weird that we can actually talk about details like that. And so those are like tells for a different artist.
Sure, totally. Like the shininess, that's totally a Vulcan thing he learned from Donato.
Right.
Like make shiny metal. That's totally...
Right, right. But this is interesting, too, that, like, Karlov, I don't think, have we seen before a card that used to be part of a group and then got split off and got its own legend? I don't think we've seen that before, right? Because Karlov's originally part of the whole Ghost Council, right? The new council from Return to Ravnica.
Yep.
He's the dude in the back. Right. And I kind of like that he's getting his own card because to me, like, I play drums, right, in my spare time. That's like my instrument of choice.
That's your
dream. And the drummer's always shoved in the back, you know, and like in any CD picture where everyone's being all mopey and standing up against the side of an abandoned truck or something, like the drummer's always in the back. Like, even he's on stage in the back, in the picture, in the back. Like, has a shadow over his face or her face.
I think that's a D12 song even, which is fantastic.
Probably. So, I mean, I thought it was cool that, like, the dude in the back, he got to come up and have his own card.
Got his own thing. I like that. I think that's a fun little play that you can make for years down the road. And Commander sets are perfect for that sort of thing.
Right, right.
All right, so that's neat, cool. We're going to keep seeing stuff, see some more tropes coming up. What do you think about Uncharted Realms dealing with Commander?
I mean, I like the fact that not only they're, you know, taking the 2 weeks of Commander spoiler time to give us some different stories, some like offbeat stories dealing with the Commanders. I think it really plays well into the fact that everyone's kind of preoccupied by Commander spoilers right now anyway. Sure. You know, so like chances are they're already in that mindset of like, hey, I'm learning about these new characters, learning about these new cards, why not give them some other stories? Sure. Also, now that we don't have the core set anymore, this offers the creative team an interesting opportunity where they can try out new writers, right? Because these stories are not going to be part of the overarching plan of stories, right? I mean, Allison, the person on Twitter, she's one of the community managers for Wizards. She wrote one of the stories, right? Right. So that's an obvious thing there where they're just like, hey, like, do you want to give it a shot? Or maybe she asked if she could. I have no idea. But, I mean, that's a great opportunity for the creative team.
I think that's part of that has to be something that they look at every now and then to say, what is our stable of writers? Are they working on style guides? I mean, they're still hiring art directors, for cripe's sake. They need more and more and more of them to say, what can you fill in for us here? Maybe grab a D&D person, maybe grab an organized play person, just to get them a little more experience with it. I'm a fan. I can dig it, even if some of the stories might be a little swingier than normal, compared to, you know, Jenna knocking it out of the park every time she sits down and types something. But I'm okay with that. I really am. Like, I think my expectations are met because I don't expect a full storyline continuation with Planeswalkers and all this, storyline considerations and nuance. I just tell me a cool story about this commander, because I can see myself as one of these people.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So one thing, I have an art question for you. Have you seen the new art for Daxos?
The new? Yeah!
So what, I got asked this on my Tumblr, and I didn't notice it at first, but he's like, what does he do? Like, his pose is so interesting. Like, he's almost
what do you mean by interesting? Go on.
I don't know, he's doing like this weird thing with his hand, like,
is he giving finger guns?
That's what I thought he was doing too, like finger guns, like bow bow, like Daxos is back, baby, bang bang.
He's giving you finger guns, you know, like your uncle would be like, "You want to get some ice cream?" Bang bang. I saw that and I laughed out loud. I'm like, "That's so unintentional," but I'm sorry, that's goddamn funny.
Finger guns, and he's, you know, he's got his boys behind him or whatever. You can see some tokens. You could see it places in Antheros, but just light ruin. But the finger guns.
That's what I thought that it was, and I was kind of like, I wanted to be on Tumblr. I just wanted to give a one-off response, just be like, dude, it's finger guns, and that's like, that's all I was gonna say.
Finger guns, like, dude, recasting finger guns. And honest, Adam is a wonderful individual, but yeah, that's funny. You gotta laugh and be like, okay, I didn't expect that to blow up, but that's funny. Okay, I just like this card is stellar because it gives you a nod to, oh, Elspeth coming back. Oh, I see what you're kind of doing here. You know, kind of prelude to what might be happening when we return to Theros, as it is stated that every other set is going to be a return to, which is like, okay, sweet. But
well, not again, every other, just 50%. Like the 50% spread is 50%.
Okay, well, okay, Wizardry. Regardless.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's not going to be every other. I mean, they could do, for all we know, they could do return, 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 and then, like, four new planes. Like, it's a, you know what I mean? Like,
well, they're doing return, return now, so there you go.
Right.
So who the hell knows how that's gonna? It's gonna be like the coin flips from way back in the day.
Where are we magic. Going? Like, they spin a wheel. New plane, old plane, new plane.
They're totally playing Goblin Game in the office, losing life.
There's just like a big Price is Right wheel in the corner, and they just spin it. It's like, what plane will we go to next?
They put like a new one up every few years. but no, that art's fantastic. I dig it. I love the like little tattoos that still show, which means are they fully dead or not? If you actually look at the full size image for Daxos, it's Adamus big old brushstrokes, like huge, and he's a digital guy. But he knows how to paint, so he brings some of that in there. I think it's neat that you can see he's got a Pegasus on his helmet. He has full hair behind him, or at least an allusion to it. You can see tattoos. You can see his clothing isn't just tattered rags. It had some
sort of... Well, he's orphans. Fresh. I mean, he wasn't there that long, though, too.
Correct.
Like, in the story, he died and was maybe in the underworld for, I don't know, like...
37 minutes.
Outside of, like, a month or something. Like, it wasn't that long. 37 minutes.
But they kept all of his iconic things about him, you know, arm tattoo, long hair, and I like that. I'm super happy they did that.
It's cool that his pose is like a mirror too, of the original Daxos art, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty nice. But finger guns, I'm going. It's going down.
Finger guns. Someone's got to alter him with like a cowboy hat on.
They probably will. Finger guns. So that's Theros.
Right.
There are a couple people in unknown territories. Could be Bant and others, maybe. Obviously, Kamigawa.
Yeah, it was nice to see Kamigawa again.
Right?
That. Yeah, that was cool. I did not expect that. That one caught me off guard for sure.
I'm not ready for a full return yet. Because it's
But you can give me snippets. You can give me little snacks. That's fine.
You give me, like, Snake Wizard, like, all day. Give me that ish. I need some Snake Wizard in my life.
Yeah, it seems like they kind of fit. I mean, Ravnica, Theros... and New Phyrexia are kind of like their go-tos now. I feel like in supplemental products, we keep seeing those three.
Yeah, over and over. Well, they went over so well. People really like the flavor. They like the limited play. Everything worked out really well on those.
I just feel like they also have very distinct visual styles, so it's easy to tell. You know what I mean? Like, when there's a new Phyrexia card, you're just like, oh, that's Phyrexia.
Yeah,
I know. Like, or Ravnica or whatever. But right. what I'm really looking forward to, and we're going to figure this out tomorrow, so this will go up afterwards, right? And we'll already know when you're listening to it, but whatever. Tomorrow's Uncharted Realms is scheduled to be this Ajun, the Shifting Flame. So the Sphinx that has a mane, it's like a blue-skinned Sphinx with a mane of fire for hair. And I'm really, really curious to figure out if this character is from the Plane of Wildfire or not. Because to date, we've only ever gotten two cards from that plane.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that's where that this Sphinx is from, but whatever. That's my like pre Uncharted Realms prediction. So
well, what was the big card that was had that had the echo, the weird echo cast from that?
The Shar of something Isle. Shar of Nar Isle.
Right? There you go. Yeah, I remember seeing that Echo of Zero, and I'm like, why the crap
would I why would that? You do that?
I'm like, what the
Who designed this?
Why would I do that at all? That sounds terrible.
Right?
Yeah, that made sense. But no, I like that idea. I think it's close enough to Arabian Nights that it could be something alluded to it. But I do see the little tokens on the Sphinx. And that lines up to Alara.
True. Yeah, that is true.
But
what would this be? I mean, we've only ever seen Sphinxes there that are like all espered out. So
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I mean, we've never seen one with full mane. So
no. Yeah, fire as a thing is totally new with it. But that iconic card, the Rocks War Monk. But they have the flipping coins, and then they have other cards that deal with that trope that they do. I mean, even Elspeth has those things. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how that's going to shake out into, you know, giving us a snippet and then giving us a left turn with it.
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that moves. Well, we'll let the spoilers do the rest of the talking there. Bigger announcement.
So, Mike, speaking of planes.
Okay. Love it.
We're apparently going back to Innistrad.
Again.
Well, we can't. What do you mean, go back again? We've never gone back. We're going back.
Well, we were there with Dak Faden, kind of, with the comics.
Kind of.
So I don't feel like we really, like, we kind of visited it twice. Like, the comics was like a full thing about it, and I'm like, ah, okay.
Yeah, I guess.
So, Innistrad. Big teaser trailer.
Right.
Feather.
Interesting.
Angel.
Feather turns to blood.
Okay.
Right, or wax, some kind of red. I mean, I'm guessing blood, but
makes sense. It's hard to show blood digitally,
right?
Okay.
Then we got the symbol.
Symbol obviously gets crumbled.
It gets well. It doesn't crumble. That's what's weird about it.
Because
like normally, so like you would think normally a normal headstone, right? Because it looks like the pan of the shot looks like you're in a graveyard. With like grumpy old trees, you know, like dead trees growing around headstones. And you're looking up at the skyline, full moon, whatever. And like the headstone, you would think if it's made out of stone, it would crumble, but it doesn't. It does this weird kind of contortion thing that makes it, I don't know, maybe it's made out of metal, or who knows? Like something weird is happening there,
right.
For sure.
But it's. This distortion thing, convince me. I am not convinced of what that is.
What the distortion is?
Well, yeah, this distortion is...
I don't know either. Like, I feel like there are hints there that it could be, you know, Emrakul and, like, an Eldrazi hint. And I feel like it's reinforced by the name, like, Shadows of Over Innistrad is very similar to the Lovecraft... novella, The Shadow Over Innsmouth.
Sure, right? Fine.
And the lettering of the set has these like little lattice things in it that look Emrakul-like, but it could also just be stained glass. Like Innistrad had that like cool stained glass look that they put in the wings of their dragons and stuff. Like it could just be that. Like we don't know. And it would be weird kind of to have like so many sets in a row that have a bunch of Eldrazi in them. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't, I'm not really convinced. Like, I can't even really convince myself that it's Emrakul. Plus, it's Shadows over Innistrad. Right. So, what else? Like, Shadows implies multiple things, right? So, is it just Emrakul? Like, do the other two escape somehow and go? Like, I don't. It's just interesting. Like, there's something there that I can't quite figure out.
Like, I looked at the Arcana, the announcement, and I looked at it and it felt very differently about it because the symbol of the set gives you a crown. It's the symbol of Avacyn, sure, but there's a crown in front of it, or like pincers or something.
So, well, it looks like the symbol upside down.
Yeah, but it's, why is that? Like, there's reasonings behind this thing.
So that made me think, but that made me think of either Tybalt or Obnixilus, because a common, like, you know, devil, like, evil worship kind of thing is to take a holy symbol and reverse it.
Yeah, they turn it upside down. That's why they crucified people upside down or
grams
or whatever. There's religious iconographic things with that, too, because it was, like, Jesus bird, which bird was like Holy Spirit, and then God was on top, and then when you flipped him around, it became devil with, you know, falling out of heaven sort of thing. So I get that. But that doesn't say Emrakul to me, and I think that's the debate. It's,
right.
If you go to the Arcana page, the Shadows of Innistrad, it doesn't look like the same it is in the video. The lettering looks different. It looks like cold steel. It looks like frozen. Right.
It looks more like an old church window or something.
Yeah, it looks like it's okay. It's gonna get cold. Oh, more vampires, because the vampires aren't affected by the heat of Innistrad, which was a trope. That's why they were naked to the waist on the men, but everyone else in Innistrad was bundled up because it's a colder plane. That's why they had the stiff coats. So I see that to be like, oh, there's gonna be a crap load of vampire things in it in comparison, and the shadows are just flying vampires run amok.
Right, and that's interesting. Like, the cold thing is interesting too, because the art that was spoiled with the announcement shows Jace and his Yeah, he's got like a heavy leather coat on.
Yeah,
right. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's definitely possible. The thing that I'm really interested to see though is that, like, when we first went to Innistrad, it was horror tropes, right? It set up the world. It showed us what it was, and then, you know, we had that third set of, oh, Avacyn broke out of her rock and, you know, saved everybody, and Grizzlebrand got pwned by Liliana, and then, you know, and seen or whatever. But, you know, now that they have Innistrad established, like, they need to do something to it to change it, right? We can't just get Innistrad 2.0 and have a whole bunch of similar tropey cards, right? It needs something that sets it apart. So that's what I'm really looking forward
to. More dual face cards are going to be boring. I mean, even down to the visual tropes. Right.
And even that, but like, even the dual face card or the double face cards, like, do they even need to have them? Like, yes, it was an integral part of what Innistrad was, but the main reason why they were even in that set was because the werewolves needed a definitive mechanic, and the curse mute changed fundamentally how, maybe not every werewolf, but the majority of the werewolves were.
People don't know what curse mute is, man.
Okay, so the curse mute was when Avacyn decided, you know, hey, I'm back and I'm going to help cure everybody. She put this huge, you know, spell over Innistrad, and it took the werewolves, and instead of having this duality of human and, you know, wolf terrible side to them, it merged them together into this humanoid wolf man type of a thing called a wolfier.
Yep.
Right? That was one of the many overarching, you know, effects of the curse mute, but I'm not going to sit here. It's on MTG Salvation.
Like, you can
Google it. Like, I don't want to talk about it for 2 hours. I could, but nobody wants to listen to that.
Okay, so other things I'm seeing with that is, obviously, we need to figure out what the hell Tybalt is doing. The first card was so bad.
Dude, Tybalt is so good. He's so cool. He's so cool, though.
The card is so bad.
But Tybalt, as a character, is so not bad. Like, I mean, he's bad. He's a bad dude. But he's so cool. Like, he's my favorite. If you would just make him into a Rakdos red black, I would just, like, never need another Planeswalker ever again.
Do you think, like, if Jim Croce was still around, he'd do, like, a bad Leroy Brine version for Tybalt?
Oh, yeah.
Someone's got to make that on YouTube.
That would be amazing.
But, I mean, to balance him out, we're going to have Jace there, sure. Maybe Dak Faden makes an appearance, because he knows how that shakes out.
Yeah, but maybe. Everybody keeps saying that, like, Liliana and Garrick are going to be there, though, but, like, why? I don't understand why they would be there at all.
Because they have been there?
Yeah, but why does Liliana need to go to Innistrad? She went there for a specific purpose, killed her demon, and left. Like, what is there for her, other than Jace?
It's fair. I people are hoping for a Liliana of the Veil reprint. Like, that's
right. The goal. I get that. But and why would she be there?
She needs to be there. But otherwise, the storyline update with them is broken. It doesn't make sense there. Of anything, it's Jace and Tybalt just let them shine. And especially, there's only two sets
right in
the block. Okay, those two could be the first thing. And then the second thing, like, then you need to have some sort of resolution. Like, why is Jace there? What is he doing? Why do we care? So, I'm okay with that. I just want to have the tropes updated. Because Innistrad was the highlight for any sort of person that really gets into the background scenes of what art direction is. And since Innistrad was that first-person camera view...
Right.
You get that sense of personal dread where you look up at buildings, you look up at castles, makes you feel small. Things are coming in on you with the vampire, with the werewolves breaking through the windows. Like, it feels like you're there. I mean, Bump in the Night is terrifying in a vacuum, and you can't repeat those. You can to some extent to show buildings, sure, but unless there's a new creature type, which makes no sense. To add, well, we're going to have more devils now. Okay, well, neat, fine. Or more demons now, randomly. It has to be, it's going to fall on its face. Kind of how we're dealing with right now with Zendikar. We're like, yeah, it was about lands. Why aren't we talking about lands more as we used to? It's, it's not Adventure World anymore. It's this other thing. And I think that disconnect, I hope they learn from Zendikar to integrate some of those things. But in the end, people remember Innistrad because of the draft format. That's it. It was 3-4 months, 5 months, and people were still finding new draft synergies. Spider spawning took so long for people to figure out that it works.
Right, right.
And then just crumble people with it because it's such an enjoyable, you know, recasting it. And then you're like, dude, I got all these spiders!
Right. Ruffles. It's one of those, like, oh, it feels so good. Like, it's so bad, but it feels so good.
Yeah, you've been setting it up all game. It feels totally like playing a storm deck.
Right, it's one of those things where, like, you know that your opponent is sitting either across the table or at another computer just thinking, like, what? Is this person dumb? Like, what are they doing?
And then all of a sudden...
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, 20 spiders. Good game.
Thanks for that. Like,
thanks for playing.
Yeah. One, you drop down, like, and dealing with, like, 10 power, 15 or 14 power with a spider is a hell of a hard to get rid of.
Right.
But well, I guess we'll see how that shakes out. I'm worried that there's nothing in between a return to it and a return, but yeah. I thought this set was also going to be next fall. I didn't think it was going to be this soon. So maybe by also having this, it allows them to swap blocks faster as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really curious to see how this shakes out because, like, we're in new territory right now, you know, with new set rotation, new storytelling methods. Like, everything's pretty different. So this is where it's going to start getting really excited or getting really exciting. Excuse me. I'm going to get excited.
Well, I hope you start making notes already because if you have to do flavor text on this, you're going to have to go deep on
tropes
to find.
Well, no, this one's got to be done, I think. It's probably done.
This one's probably already done. Both sets?
Maybe not both sets. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know. I would have to go deep, man. I would have to really learn my stuff. And the cool thing about this set, too, is like the way in the naming is that all of the flavor is not – it's like – it's not high fantasy. It's very mild in terms of like Bump in the Night, right? Like,
sure.
What is that? It's just a sound. Like, it's not a huge fireball. It's not, you know, I'm shooting ice out of my fingertips. It's, oh, I scared you. or feeling of dread. Like, that's a spell in Innistrad, right. You know. But, yeah, I'm excited, definitely.
I'm feeling some hype, which brings me back to, I got to get back to battle for Zendikar and find new things that I'm overlooking because we're looking too far ahead. And every time this happens, I go back into the art and I find Easter eggs. This happens every block that I do. I always look too far ahead, and then I go into high-res images one by one, and then I find the most amazing things. This is like the most fun week or two that I can do is when I really dive into the art and take 10 minutes per and find it.
Well, if you do find some Easter eggs, you know what to do with them, man.
You know how it do. Articles come through the end. Well, otherwise, we'll have some info on GPC Tech in a minute here that I'll be posting, which will be fun because there were 20 artists. It's just an absurd amount for a normal GP. So I'll get that info out to people. There's some pretty neat new offerings, and, you know, we'll get to them. But per usual, if people are following us on iTunes, leave a comment, give some stars, have some fun with that. We'd love to hear from folks. We do have some upcoming interviews with some creatives. We even got some young bucks, new artists that are just broke onto the scene, and they'll want to talk about what they're doing and their process. For any artists that listen that want to break in, they just did it. Those are the people you ask. But otherwise, let us know. Sound off. Let us know what you want to hear about for the next sets. We got info. We just got to hold back for each one.
Yep. One thing that I keep hearing from a lot of people is they want us to do similar to how Limited Resources does a set review, but they want us to do a flavor review for a set. But I feel like that would either, one, take forever, and two, like, if I wrote for the set, I can't do it anyway.
What if it's for a set you didn't write for?
Maybe.
Well, what?
I don't know. We'd have to test it out because I just feel like it would take too long, and we would get our attention span is too short. Like, it's too short. We would just be like all over the place.
I think there's things we could do with some of the important or significant pieces,
and maybe we could just do like flavor gems set name, because similar to like the article, I do that as an article now, but we could totally just turn that into a.
We could just pull out with both you and my article, those sort of things.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then just go deep dive.
Right.
We could do a 3-hour episode on that. That would be fine.
3 hours of flavor gems?
I like a 3-hour, 3 hours. Can you handle the taste? That'll be the thing.
All right, let's do it. We'll do it.
Done. We'll do that. All right, well, thanks for stopping by, everybody. You can find us on the Twitters and on them internets all over the place. I'm at Vorthos Mike. You know where to find me. Ant, where can they get you?
And I'm at AnMTG. I'm also on Tumblr and Gathering Magic, obviously. So hit me up on any of those.
Thanks for watching, and check out cool stuff. There's a couple new holiday sales coming up. Can't talk about them, but it's going to be fire.